one of the big issues that's out there, that's in light of the government shutdown, one of the things that everyone is looking to now that's over, or at least for a couple of months, everyone is looking to now is what's going on with the Affordable Care Act? What's going on with the healthcare exchanges? What's going on when it comes to a sign up? Well, there's different approaches. MinSure, which is the Minnesota approach to all of this, Minnesota set up their own exchange. Now, on the North Dakota side, there were efforts made by Republicans and Democrats alike to set up a North Dakota exchange, not give the federal government that leeway to basically run the North Dakota exchange, to take it on. They didn't get much help from North Dakota's insurance commissioner. In fact, they got no help from North Dakota's insurance commissioner, but good, strong advocates for public health in North Dakota who are legislative leaders like Judy Lee, like a George Kaiser, who understood the process and really wanted that control to stay local in North Dakota, lost. They lost. The lobbyists for Blue Cross that were kind of in charge of getting that done, I don't think really got the job done, and now you find one of them no longer working for Blue Cross and Blue Shield. So what happened? Well, North Dakota does what it does. It accepts the federal program of how they're going to deal with this. We've heard some of the horror stories of, hey, you can't get online. You get told to wait. It's not really working. The website is crashed. All of that. Well, there's a program in North Dakota, the Navigator program, that was a federal grant. So these people advocate for. In other words, I could call Neil Sharpie or his team and say, Neil, I need help. Websites aren't my thing. I need help. I need you to help me navigate through this and get signed up for the Affordable Care Act. And it's Neil's job to help work on that. And we've got Neil with us right now. He's working under a grant on behalf of the state of North Dakota. Neil, good to have you on News and Views.
Thank you, Joel.
Talk to me about this. How bad is it? Are you able to even do your job?
Well, there's two parts to being a navigator. The first part is to basically spread the message and let people know how they can access the system, who should be accessing it, and probably the timing. So from the standpoint of can we go out and tell the message, yes, and we have navigators across the state doing that. The second part of our job is to actually assist people in signing up. And in that sense, no, Joel, we are having the same difficulty that everybody else does. The website is basically non-responsive. In fact, I went in again this morning, and I can see how people are frustrated with it. It just is. It's a slow process.
Neil, let's deal with both of these one at a time, okay?
Sure.
Let's deal with the who should be accessing it, the timing of what they should do, all of that in just a second. But the website itself, because that's what's on the forefront of a lot of people's minds right now. How frustrated is it for you to have somebody on the line who's looking for that healthcare plan, who's wanting to get into this system, and you can't make it? I mean, what are your coworkers saying right now?
Everybody is. I think we are as frustrated as a consumer would be in trying to get on. And initially, I think my message was, we have, for those people who really need insurance, as of January 1st, they have till December 15th. So there's plenty of time to sign up. If you signed up today, it doesn't mean you're going to have health insurance before January 1st anyway. So the fact is, there is still time. But yes, it's a bit frustrating. We as navigators did not get a look at the system prior to October 1. The interesting part is we did assist one young man right on October 1st. It was very early in the morning, and he was able to go through a fairly simple process and signed up for health insurance that he didn't have before. So we know that the system can work. We also know that those first couple of days, Joel, it would be like if everybody in the country called into your radio station. Odds are something's not going to work.
Yeah.
And there was an awful lot of people accessing the site, I think those first few days, and maybe still so today, who were looking to see, who really had probably insurance, or, you know, they really weren't accessing it from the standpoint that they needed to sign up for health insurance, which, of course, makes it difficult for everybody else.
Neil, have you spoken to the individuals that you're kind of working with or trying to help out getting people signed up to this? In other words, have you spoken to the people up the chain at the Department of Health and Human Services who, you know, need to get this website working the way it's supposed to work? What are they telling you for a timeline?
There really isn't a timeline. I think, you know, national news is probably as good as what we have. The frustration pretty much goes all the way up. My access is not to Kathleen Sebelius, but it is to project officers, one of which was furloughed during the government shutdown. But I had access to another one, and yes, I expressed the concern, but there again, she's not the person to make the system work. But I think across the country, the message was heard pretty loud and clear that something needs to be done in order to access. Now, there are two other ways to access health insurance outside of the website. I think the website is the nicest because it is really a place where you can go and shop for insurance. But there are paper applications, and there's also a 1-800 number that I have heard is also having some difficulty with the volume. But there are several different ways that people can access. But I guess, you know, the other thing that I'd like to stress is for anybody that is looking for insurance till on January 1st, they do have until December 15th to sign up.
Neil Sharpie is our guest. He's with the North Dakota Navigators that are helping people get signed up for the Affordable Care Act. Neil, let's go back to what you began with, the other part of all of this. In other words, who should be calling you? Who should be contacting you for help right now? I have health care through my wife's health care plan, and it's a wonderful plan, and it's not going away. I would guess I'm not your target demo for, hey, I should be surfing the web for that site right now.
That's probably true. I mean, you may have some interest in it because of just the who you are and the radio show and the whole works, and I can understand, you know, accessing it because of that. But in general, the people who should be looking at the site or calling a navigator is somebody who does not have insurance. And again, the people who shouldn't be calling are people on, and I want to stress this, people on Medicare. If you are a 65-year-old Medicare recipient, don't respond to a phone call. Don't have somebody knocking at your door and you're giving them a bunch of information. Medicare recipients do not need the Affordable Care Act. They've already been taken care of. There's also, I think, and probably something that we can discuss as we go on, the Medicaid expansion in North Dakota will allow more individuals access to Medicaid in North Dakota. And those people can go both ways once the system works. They can go to their local social service office and county social service office and sign up for Medicaid. And if, in fact, they're not eligible, it can automatically be transferred to the healthcare.gov,
so,
to the marketplace.
So, well, first off, Neil, people are going to want to talk to you. Do you mind? Take some phone calls for me, okay? I mean,
sure.
You can only answer what you answer, but I think what's great about this is, you know, trying to narrow that scope of really who needs to be doing this now and the timing of it is where we need to focus some of this conversation. Because in the end, it's not Neil Sharpie's, you know, it's not your fault if this website doesn't work. That's left, as you put it, to a higher ranking. And the president's going to speak to that today. So really what we need to do, I think, is speak to the public as much as we can about the timing of all of this so they understand what we're after. So, Neil, hang with me if you don't mind. Welcome back to News and Views, heard here all over the Upper Midwest on the News and Views Radio Network. Neil Sharpe is our guest. He's a navigator for the Affordable Care Act, which means he helps people get signed up for the insurance program that by law some of them are going to have to be signed up for. And Neil, one of the things I think we need to point out, and one of the reasons I'm glad you're able to hang with us, is I think people don't understand the law. Not everyone has to buy through the exchange. Am I right, Neil?
You're right. Anybody that has, in fact, no one has to buy through the exchange. There will be a tax levied on either a minimum tax or at least, you know, a percentage of your income if you don't have health insurance come tax time in 2015. But really, nobody has to. The people that need to are the people who do not have insurance right now, or people who are really, you know, have private insurance that they're paying their own way. They have an opportunity to go and shop for insurance right now.
I have an image of the people that are calling you. And, you know, I doubt that the people that are just surfing and trying to check out how the website's doing, you know, and the people who own small businesses who are saying, wait, is there something better out there? That isn't the people that are calling you. My guess is the people that are calling you are primarily individuals that have never had health care before and are trying to find out if there's anything out there that they can even afford. Am I right?
You're right.
Okay.
You're right, Joel. I think that across the state, our navigators are probably dealing first with people who have some sort of prior existing condition and either have been locked out of health insurance or probably because of affordability. But those prior existing conditions are gone. The marketplace, you know, affords them the same insurance that somebody else does. Now, the rates still are modified based on your age, to some extent where you live. But in North Dakota, I think we basically have one pay schedule that covers the state. But it also does entail your age and tobacco use.
Okay.
But other than that, a prior existing condition is not something that's asked anymore.
Neil, what about Native Americans? Are they anxious to sign up for this? Is that something that they're looking at?
One of the things when we submitted our proposal, or when we were awarded our proposal, the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Health Board, that covers both North and South Dakota, submitted a proposal and were awarded navigator funds as well. And Tinka Duran is located down in Rapid City with the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Health Board. And they are covering all of the reservations, both in North and South Dakota. So, yes, there is a need. There's a huge need there. And I think, Joel, that a lot of times when we take a look at health insurance, I have a young son who is pretty healthy and just really has never had a real need for health care. This is an opportunity to access affordable health care in a plan that he could afford. In the same way with the population on the Indian reservations, or even, you know, not living on the reservation, but tribal members. They have access now to health care that is affordable.
Well, the other part to all of this is they can get plans. There used to be this window of where you could get them from, and now the world has opened up to them. I mean, there are people out there. Everyone says that this isn't about the marketplace, that the marketplace isn't driving this. The exchanges themselves are proof that it is about the marketplace. The people who advocated for the single-payer system, that isn't what this law is. That isn't what it became.
There are three insurance companies that North Dakotans would have access through the marketplace. And each one of those is offering a variety of plans at different levels. It can be a catastrophic plan if you're under 30, And it can also be what they call a platinum level plan, which pays, I think, 90% of your insurance or your health related costs. So there's still, I think the critical thing is, yes, people have access. And again, the frustration is that the best way to shop is really to access the website. And today, that's really not accessible. But the website will, in fact, you can bring up those plans and you can compare for yourself. And then when you have specific questions about one of those plans, it's not a navigator's job to interpret insurance.
Yeah, then they can make their own decision. Neil, hang on. We got a lot of people on hold that want to talk to you. Sure. Neil Sharpie, a navigator here in North Dakota on the Affordable Care Act. Those individuals, I should say, that has tried to help people get signed up for the Affordable Care Act. Obviously, there's been problems with the website. But we've been talking about the timing of it all, when you need to sign up and when not to. I said we're going to take some phone calls. Let's do it. Arlen, you are on News and Views with Neil Sharpie. Go ahead, Arlen.
Good morning. I just got a quick comment. I've been a health agent for a number of years, and I went to the work of getting certified for the marketplace, which you're talking about, and I didn't hear that as being one of the options. But there are agents out there, I don't know how many, but there are agents out there that did go through the certification process to work with these people. Is that true or not?
Neil, your thoughts?
Yes. In fact, we were, we as navigators, and sort of my last comment, the toughest part about navigating through the website when it's up and running is the decision to decide which one of those insurance companies to go with and then which level of plan. And those are decisions that navigators don't have any expertise in. And insurance companies or insurance agents do, and especially I think those independent insurance agents are a great resource. In fact, almost, I said to Senator Kaiser, that I don't go to my dentist to figure out what kind of home insurance I should buy. I sure wouldn't go to somebody with 20 hours of training to figure out what health insurance I should buy. The independent agents probably represent all three of the companies and are a huge resource, as well as the agents for each one of the three companies.
So I guess I go back to the question that Arlen had, which is, there's more than just you out of there is what I'm getting here, Neil.
Yes, there is. And again, it's not just our project. We
right.
have navigators across the state. There are certified application counselors that are tied to the federally qualified health clinics that are also there. And then the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Board
yep.
is there as well.
Neil, how close are you working with the North Dakota Department of Insurance?
From the standpoint of going back to our initial proposal, I had conversation with the insurance commissioner's office to find out if anybody else was applying. And at a point that it didn't look like anyone else was, that's when we stepped in. Since we received the award, I have spoken with Adam Hamm. I've spoken with people in his office. I've received referrals from staff in his office of people that I needed to talk to assist them, to navigate them through the system.
Okay, let's get back to the phone lines, and let's get to Les. Les, you were on with Neil Sharpie. Go ahead. Go ahead, Les. I'm going to let you go, and we're going to go to Jay. Jay, you are on with Neil.
Hey, I'll just give you my personal experience, and I'm a Minnesota resident, so I'm dealing with the MSHRE website as opposed to the federal. And I can tell you that all the problems that the Fed side is having, MSHRE is basically having all the same issues. And so from from one point of view, North Dakota may have been smart not to set up their own, because now I'm mad at the state of Minnesota, not mad at the feds. But regardless of that, probably my biggest issue right now is trying to go through this enrollment, is I finally got an application in after almost 10 days of website work, and I want to go shopping for an insurance plan. The issue that I'm looking at is based against insurance that I could get on a COBRA issue, and this is all personal. There is no competitive advantage to the Affordable Care Act. The only two plans that are available of like coverage available to me are actually a higher premium than what I have now. The only advantage to the Affordable Care Act is that if your income level is low, you're going to get a federal subsidy to make it more affordable, and you get the advantage of the pre-existing condition going away. But the bitter disappointment that I'm having with this thing right now is the fact that it's a tremendous amount of effort, money, work that everybody else has put into it, and I'm putting into it, and it looks like we've got about almost zero-sum net gain.
Okay. Thanks, Jay. Neil, your thoughts on what Jay said?
Well, and again, I don't know. There are always going to be people that fall into the fringe area, and that could be on the top side or the bottom side. Whatever system you have will not, you're always going to have people that are in that situation. I don't know that the Affordable Care Act was passed especially with the spotlight on those people. It was really, I think, looked at from the standpoint of people with prior existing conditions, people without insurance. And again, there's a whole population out there of families whose children have special health care needs that may have not been addressed before.
Well, I was asked many times on the show why certain blocks of people were left out. Big business, for example, unions, for example. And I told them because they have health insurance. This thing is about getting people in the beginning, certainly on the rollout, people without health insurance, getting them on health insurance. So let's get to Bud. Bud, you have a question for Neil. Go ahead, Bud.
Well, one of the things, it seems like getting a different idea of how many insurance companies involved. In Minnesota, it seems like there's 50, and in North Dakota, only three. I thought the idea was to get a bunch to make it more competitive.
That's a great question, Bud. Thanks. Neil, your take on that?
Well, every insurance company, I believe, in the country had an opportunity to take a look at the North Dakota population and say, we want their business. Three companies stepped up and made proposals that were accepted. Blue Cross, Sanford, and Medica are the only three that we have. But that was based on, again, I don't believe excluding anyone. I believe it was, again, the marketplace. Part of that is, I'm sure, goes back to demographics and, concept? The rate has to, it's for life insurance and everything else. Oh, there's a term.
I'm not going to help you out there, Neil, because you're so on that limb all by yourself. Here, okay. Does North Dakota get more players offering to North Dakota had North Dakota itself embrace the exchange more? In Minnesota, they promoted the exchange. They passed an exchange, and now they have cheaper options in the exchange. The examples that I have in Minnesota are much better than what the previous caller was, that where people are actually saving a buck or two, and their MinSure website is working much better than the federal website. And so in North Dakota, by simply trying to ignore the law or pretend it isn't there, isn't that part of why we're left with only three options?
I don't know that that's the case. I think one of the things that you have to look at is there's 36 states that are in the same situation as North Dakota, or 35 other states. There was only 14 states that decided to run their own health insurance exchange. So, you know, would it have been better? I have no idea. Now, you know, I think you can also go back and take a look at where the market was before, who had the market, and, you know.
Well, Blue Cross had 85% of the market, or 90% of the market.
Okay, so if you are a, and maybe a large insurance company, but they're already established. So
yeah, they've got
maybe that's why. I don't have any idea. I just know that the market was open, and there was three companies that qualified to put their plan.
Well, and it should be pointed out that with the market being open in North Dakota, you still have a state of 680,000 people. So actuarial data shows that there's not as big of a piece of the pie there as what there are in some other states. So let's get to Stephen. Stephen, you're on with Neil Sharpie. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, Neil, I was a little concerned about this Affordable Care Act, so I called one of the provider organizations for North Dakota yesterday, Friday, and I asked them to compare my current plan because they were the provider for our current plan. And it became quite shocking to me. My employees were going to have to pay another $125 a month for a plan. It went from a zero deductible to $4,250 deductible. And it went from a 80-20 cost share to a 70-30 cost share. And so the question I have is, how many of these people are going to be able to afford to pay these deductibles? You know, they might get a cheaper plan, but they're unaware of the deductibles. And then the second question is, I understand they're going to get a tax credit, but every time I've gotten a tax credit, I've had to wait 15 months to get it or to receive it. And so I'm wondering, how do these people get the cash flow in the meantime, even though they're going to get a tax credit 15 months later on their income tax?
Great question, Stephen. Hang on, Stephen, in case Neil has some questions for you. Go ahead, Neil.
Well, let me take the second question first. Those tax credits, if in fact an individual would qualify for that, can be applied to that monthly premium. So basically, it's an estimate up front. And it really is, I think, the critical thing with the marketplace is that you set up an account, and that account is between you and really the federal government. And if your income goes up or your income goes down, that credit could change, but it's based on your estimated 2014 income. And those credits can be applied on a monthly basis to reduce your premium. So that will help. Now, going back to your first question, which is, you know, out-of-pocket costs, I think that is one of the things that we're really going to have to do some education with in North Dakota. And I know that the Extension Office is already looking into that to teach people who have not had insurance before what those extra things are. I know that when my bill comes from my health insurance or from my health provider, you know, I walk in the door and I have a copay, and they would like that copay right then and there. And everybody will be treated pretty much the same. If you have out-of-pocket expenses, you're going to need to pay your copays. Then you're going to have your, well, co-insurance. If the plan that you choose, you know, covers 70% of your costs, you're going to pay 30% of those. And there's a maximum out-of-pocket, so it's a percentage of your income. So it's not like it's going to break the bank. Will it be more than some people can afford? Odds are that's the case. I know that in my experience with raising four boys, I have had health care costs that have been exorbitant. Luckily, I had health insurance along the way, but that didn't mean I didn't pay anything.
Stephen, does that answer your question?
Yeah, but I have one caveat to that. You know, right now, if you can't pay your health care bill or whatever, and you choose to, you can go into receivership or Chapter 7 bankruptcy and dissolve most of that debt. But under the new plan, aren't you going to end up with a tax lien? And those that don't get dissolved in bankruptcy. So how is that helping anybody?
Okay. Thanks, Stephen. Neil, your thoughts on that?
Joel, that is where it goes way over my head. I've read some stuff that I wouldn't say is credible, or that I didn't do any vetting on, but that ends up at a point where it looks like it is going to be, you know, a taxable situation. Although I still believe that your co-pays are going back to the healthcare provider. So what you pay to the federal government, well, honestly, you don't even pay it to the federal government. Your premiums are going to the health insurance plan by themselves.
Neil, I've got to take a break here. Hang with me, okay? Neil Sharpe is our guest. He is one of the individuals who works as a navigator here in North Dakota to help people through the Affordable Care Act. He's taking your phone calls on this. Neil, I want to thank you in advance for the extra time. We're getting calls from all over the state, and people just want to talk to you. And so let's get Steve online with you. Steve, you're on with Neil Sharpe. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Joel. How's it going this morning?
It's going well.
Yeah, no, I appreciate him being in there and answering these questions, but I have to flash back to the Adam Hamm comes out and does presentations to insurance agents, and I carry an insurance license in North Dakota. I have nothing to do with health insurance, but I've sat in rooms with the guys that do sell it, and 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago now, they all but begged to be more involved in this process because of their expertise, and like Neil said, having someone that has the experience to explain to someone why they should take one policy over another. That's what an insurance license allows you to do. But this mystical, wonderful website with these navigators that are trained in, you know, what do you say, 20 hours, it's not working. Yep. Is it time to put the brakes on for a few weeks or a few months or a year? I don't know, but I haven't talked to anyone that's had a positive experience. And there's been 19 million people on that site. And now Obama's going to give a speech about how it's someone else's fault, and he's going to hire more people to spend more millions of dollars to try and fix it while it's up and running.
Steve, hang on, because there's one question that you had in the middle of that, and then I want to comment on something said about Adam Hamm. But Neil, what Steve said about should this be extended, the deadlines of this be extended, your thoughts on that, Neil?
I think that would depend upon whether the site becomes active. And as far as extended, I guess the question is, what are we extending? Are we extending the tax liability if, in fact, you don't get insurance in time? I think that's, again, it sure isn't. It's kind of like the insurance, which insurance company or plan to choose. It's not for me. The navigators, this project was to assist people in truly navigating through that concept. And how it got established and which insurance companies in the whole works. What I do know is that currently it is the law of the land, and North Dakotans, if in fact they don't access it, or at least make a determination of whether they want to have health insurance or pay the penalty, the tax at the end. That needs to be an informed decision.
Okay, and Neil, hang on with me because I don't think or actually know you don't want to get involved in what I got to say to Steve, but it isn't fair to say it when Steve doesn't got a chance to respond. Steve, your argument about Adam Hamm being more involved holds absolutely no weight with me, because Adam Hamm and the people that he surrounds himself with did everything they could to make sure North Dakota didn't set up their own exchange. In fact, they did everything they could, and that's his philosophy. I understand it, to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. Well, now it's here. There were people in his own party who told him, even if the Supreme Court rules this unconstitutional, we would be remiss if we don't set up our own exchange. All we're out is the work. He didn't want to do the work, Steve. He didn't want to be involved in this, and he testified thereof. So, you know, I know that you're an insurance agent. You probably have a close relationship with him, but it holds no argument with me, Steve, and I want your thoughts on that.
Sure, Joel. First of all, I've talked to Adam Hamm twice in my life. Most of my experience with Adam Hamm is to get continuing education,
okay,
as every insurance commissioner has done, I believe, regardless of party, is they tour the state and they do these three-hour presentations on ethics and all of the issues. Mm-hmm. And my point is that 3 years ago, yes, he made a decision, he and his department, that they were going to rely on the federal government to come up with a clearinghouse, he and 35 other states, but that aside, all I'm saying is that the people that were in that room, these were the people that know and do health insurance, were raising their hand and saying, there's no website in the world that can explain to someone the intricacies of health insurance. And of course, the federal government said, yes, there is, and we're going to build it. They've now spent $600 million trying to build it. And guess what? It doesn't seem to be working. That's not evil, but how about we put the brakes on it? And they already waived the employer mandate for a year.
To me, that's a more legitimate argument, Steve. I agree with that. And Neil, at some point, if this website doesn't become accessible to Americans and they don't fix that problem, it seems to me, Neil, what Steve's getting at is accurate. They're going to have to put the brakes on some of these deadlines.
Well, it would seem almost impossible to be able to handle at the federal government level, you know, 30 million paper applications.
Right. I mean, Jack Sunday popped in here, and it isn't like you can just go down to the post office and grab an app. It's not going to be able to work that way. It's not. So let's get Tom. Tom, you're on with Neil Sharpie. Go ahead, Tom. Tom, I'm having a hard time hearing you. You're on speakerphone.
No, I'm not.
There you go. Now I got you. Go ahead.
Okay, now you got me. Anyway, I Googled Obama. What word am I thinking of? Subsidies. Obama health care subsidies. And I found out, living in Minnesota, on the other side of the river, that I can make $78,000. I make in the 50s, and I get a $13,000 subsidy per year. Then I went and looked in the 13 or 15 health plans that Minnesota has, and the cheap ones have no bells and whistles. They're around $300 a month. The ones that have some bells and whistles cost me $1,500 to $1,800 a month. So what am I gaining?
Well, my question of you, Tom, to get a subsidy like the one you're talking about is, how big a family you got? What are we looking at, Tom?
52,000, three people.
Three people. Okay. Thanks, Tom. Your thoughts on that, Neil?
Yes. According to the information that I have, he would, in fact, qualify for a subsidy. And with a household that has three people and $52,000 a year, he would qualify for lower costs that could be used to lower that insurance premium on a monthly basis. Now, what that is, and again, there's a wonderful site, Joel, that the Kaiser Foundation has had up, and it's really nice for people who want to know whether they would qualify or not for a subsidy, and it's just KFF.org. And then all you have to do is click on the health insurance subsidy calculator. And you can put in your family size. You can put in your estimated income for 2014, and it'll give you that information. Okay. And again, it's not healthcare.gov, but it does get people in the interim a little bit closer to figuring out whether they would have assistance with those payments.
Neil, you gave us more time than we asked for. I want to thank you for that. Obviously, we could take calls for you for 3-4 hours. But the point is, you got a meeting coming up. So I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to thank you. And the bad part for you is we've got your phone number. So we'll probably call you again, Neil, okay?
That's okay.
You bet. Neil Sharpie, ladies and gentlemen, somebody working with those exchanges. Here's something that I think needs to be said by me, Joel Heitkamp, as host of News and Views. The federal government had some time to get this done and get it done right. They had to anticipate the fact that just simply out of curiosity and ease of how the internet itself works, that there were going to be a lot of people going to this website just to poke around. I wonder how many journalists alone have gone there, or journalists or talk show hosts. Some talk show hosts consider themselves journalists. I don't. But I wonder how many of them alone have gone there just to scope around and just take a look at this and see how it works so they can speak about the subject in an informed way. The federal government wasn't ready. This is Barack Obama's signature piece of legislation. He's not going to give it up. In the end, I think it will work. But the fact, everybody knew there were going to be glitches and problems in the rollout. Everybody knew that. But for it to be as disastrous as what it has been, for it to be the story of the rollout of affordable health care in as strong of a way as what it has been completely irresponsible. And for those of us who advocate for this system and believe that America needed to have an alternative for those people with pre-existing conditions, for those people that are 22 going to college that have no other option of what plan to get on, for those people who believe and are sick and tired of other people that just simply ring up their health care bills and then file bankruptcy so we can pay for those, whether they be other radio talk show hosts or not. I mean, for some of us, we wanted a new system. When I managed a utility, I was sitting there tired of looking at my employees and saying, you know what, our health, and believe me, it was above the 20% mark for some of it. What happened for them as employees? This is the old Blue Cross Blue Shield days. You know what happened? They paid higher deductibles. We did co-insure. We did a lot of different options in ways that never were thought of and today are the norm when it comes to healthcare. For us as an industrialized nation to compete with other industrialized nations, we cannot pay 30%+ of what we pay an employee in healthcare. We need to get our arms around the fact that we're paying for the uninsured already. They find a way to healthcare and then they stick us with the bill. So I'm okay with this. In fact, the very system that this is under is the one that was proposed by and put in place by Mitt Romney in Massachusetts. It separates from the single-payer system. It goes about doing it in a way where the market itself is involved. It was advocated for by fellow Republican legislators when I was a Democratic legislator in the North Dakota Senate. So to say that this is some vision that just Obama had is just completely inaccurate. But what's lost in all this, and not lost, what's accurate in all this, is the criticism that the President of the United States and his departments are getting for this rollout. They've got it coming. They have got it coming. And they need to fix this, and they need to fix it fast. Or else they need to take a look at just what Steve called in and said, which is backing off that date. It doesn't need to be done in a debate over raising the debt ceiling. But now that that's over, and now we know the trouble that they're having for the poor Neil Sharpies of the world to get a job done for people, if they don't give them a tool to get that job done, then they need to wake up and realize they weren't ready.